Hi, I'm Matt Heath, and this is my friend Jeremy Wells, and welcome to our daily podcast, which we farted out sometime between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. this morning.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by MyRepublic. Even if you are listening to this courtesy of another provider, they won't hold it against you. How's that for knowing no limits? What great New Zealanders they are.
And don't forget to subscribe, slag us off, and give us a 5-star review.
How was that game of rugby last night? What game of rugby I've seen in years.
What a game of rugby.
The Highlanders versus the Lions down at Forsyth Bar. Dry track, fastest track in the world.
Yeah. I mean, the Highlanders, they didn't have their A team.
No, you know? No dick pic.
No Ben from accounts. No. But they didn't need them. Because how about that Buckman Turner overdrive
played superbly. And Marty Banks.
Oh, with the pesty hair.
Oh, yeah.
He's the pestiest hair outside of the Beastie Boys, probably to hit the national stage.
Yeah.
And what a player.
Yeah. And Voodoo Meds played outstandingly.
Sloppy winger.
What a great game of rugby. Actually, both teams, I thought, played brilliantly.
Tell you who was good, Eyebrows Fekitoa.
Eyebrows had a good game. He was fired up.
Yeah, he was fired up. See, when he came over to that fight from the other side of the field, and he got totally told off by the ref.
He did get told off, which is exactly right. The referee did the right thing there.
Yeah, he did. It was a good verbal telling off. What are you doing running from the other side of the field when you're a captain to get
Well, I'll tell you what Eyebrows had done. Eyebrows hadn't been selected for the All Blacks, and Eyebrows was fired up.
He was fired up.
And he wanted to make a point.
He was breaking some lines.
Have a listen to this.
And he's past the forwards and given off to Naholo. They won't stop him. Waisaki Naholo scores. Here's Bigger. Away to Joseph. Joseph should go all the way. And he does, Jonathan Joseph. Oh, what great play by Tommy Seymour.
Isn't that crowd?
That is terrific.
You can hear Professor Heath if you listen closely.
And it is over.
Now snapped up and a dive by Warburton. And the captain scores.
Great blowing of the whistle.
Looking to keep it straight. Liam Kaufman scores for the Highlanders.
Superb whistle work by the ref.
Here he goes. Daly's kick. Certainly got the distance. No, just under.
There it was.
That was the 57-metre kick.
Joseph kicked away by the Highlanders. Game over. And a famous victory for the Highlanders.
Famous, all right. And they were celebrating massively. But it was just such a great game, 22-23.
Yeah, and people had just thought after the Crusaders lost to a different Lions team, everyone just thought the momentum of the tour was going to go one way, and it could have. Just a couple of things had gone the Lions' way, but that was just the Highlanders' day, wasn't it? This is the way they played, and the Lions had to play the game like the Highlanders were playing it, and on that fast Forsyth Bar track, the Lions never had the chance.
The Agenda.
Later, Robber, no match for Uncle Jim Heath in Ashburton. Soon, Cook Crossing's cancelled due to shitty weather, but now Palmerston North hates beggars.
Palmerston North City Council is exploring ways to make the city's centre less attractive and less accessible to beggars. A council subcommittee is considering a number of options that include putting outdoor furniture and artwork in places where beggars sleep, directing the public to donate to collection boxes rather than beggars themselves, and the outdoor furniture is intended to create a physical barrier to deter beggars from sleeping outside. Couple of points on this.
Yeah.
Really?
Why don't you just build a house over the beggar? Like if someone there begging, build a house over them. Is it that they're begging or that they're homeless?
How much money are they going to spend on deterring beggars? Wouldn't it just be better to set up a bank account for the beggars and wouldn't that be better?
Why do people hate beggars so much? Because as long as they're not yelling. I mean, we had those annoying beggars when we were in Christchurch that time, although more glass barbecue enthusiasts that were sort of yelling and abusing and becoming violent and getting arrested constantly. That's one thing. But if you're just sitting on the side of the road with your hand out, I mean, is that any more annoying than anything else?
It's weird. People really don't like beggars in New Zealand. So it's a thing that we've. I think it's because it makes people realise that maybe things are not quite as good as what they seem. And it maybe makes you, it's confronting. I don't know. I've got no problem with beggars.
So it's people's own problem, because if they don't like beggars at all, they can just walk past and not give them money. But is it because people walk past them and not give them money and feel bad?
Yeah, I think so.
Because it makes the city look bad?
I think that's part of it. But it doesn't make the city look bad. It's just someone sitting on the ground. I mean,
what about the people that, like Bruce Hornsby in The Range, that walk past beggars and go, get a job?
Yeah,
but don't you believe it?
Yeah. I live in Ponsonby in Auckland, and there's quite a few beggars on Ponsonby Road. There's probably, at any given time, there's probably about three or four operating at any given time.
You giving them money?
Sometimes, but I walk past beggars quite a lot. I mean, I run an FPOS credit card situation. Very little cash.
That is really rooted beggars. But if a beggar came out with a paywave sort of system, then they'd get a lot more money, but also people would be angry, where'd you get that paywave system?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't have a problem with, I don't know what, I think in New Zealand there was a time when I was growing up in the 1980s, there were no beggars in the 1980s around Auckland. You see buskers on Queen Street and stuff, but, and there was that great guy, the Jinka Jinka Man, who played the no chord two strings.
Yeah.
John Hartnell, I think his name may have been, and Graham Hill recorded an album with him. And he'd play and actually made quite a lot of money. There were guys like that, but there were very few beggars. But there seemed to be more and more.
There was this beggar called Margaret, and she used to sit on K Road, and me and the mother of my children, Lani, would walk past her every morning on our way to work, and every morning we'd be smoking a cigarette, and she'd ask us for one, and we'd give her one, and then she'd go, "Can I have a cigarette?" And we'd give her a cigarette, and then one day Lani thought she'd jump ahead of the game and saw Margaret and said, "Margaret, can I have a cigarette?" And she goes, "F off! F off!" And just started running at us and yelling.
I remember Margaret.
And Lani was going,
"She's really tall and thin."
Yeah, Lani's like, "I've given you about 20 cigarettes in your life and you can't even ask, you get away from me!"
Yeah, no, she
So she didn't get any more cigarettes from us after that. And then she died.
Well, they wanted to put a statue, didn't they? They wanted to do a statue to Margaret up there. That was.
Well, remember there was all those rumours that she was a multi-millionaire and she was just on the street for some reason.
Yeah, she was a former Vogue model.
Yeah,
that's what
like
people said, because she is very tall and very thin, and she often used to wear fur.
Every single beggar used to be something amazing. It's, but they probably.
Mike Hosking is a high-level achiever. Jeremy Wells is a low-level bottom feeder, so he's been asked to be more like Mike.
G'day there. Team New Zealand have won the Louis Vuitton Cup, and they'll be sailing against Oracle Team USA for the Old Mug, the America's Cup, the oldest and greatest prize in sport. It's an understatement to say that I'm juiced up about this. I haven't been as excited about a sporting event since John Key pulled Shane Warne during a charity cricket game at the Basin Reserve. Long-time listeners will be aware of my love of success. They'll also be aware of my love of anything vaguely European. Christian Louboutin makes beautiful shoes at a reasonable price. Maserati make wonderful cars that all hardworking people can afford. And Louis Vuitton make incredible practical brown luggage with their insignia all over it, so everyone standing at the baggage carousel knows you have taste. I like things that celebrate success. Ever since the lesbians of the left took over a few years back, we've been too focused on pulling up the bottom rather than lifting the top. In contrast, the America's Cup stands for the triumph of the establishment, the dominance of the status quo, the beauty of the uneven playing field, the coming together of people who know nothing about sailing under the false pretense of nationalism. That's what this nation was based on. Long live Burling and cycling on a catamaran. Long live the America's Cup, the People's Cup. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Hauraki Breakfast with Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells.
That's right, I tuned into Leighton Smith yesterday on News Talk ZB with the amazing pipes. And it's interesting to hear a baby boomer's view on driverless cars, which are coming in the future at some point.
How do you deal with a trailer boat with a driverless car? I don't know. I have no idea. I despise the thought of driverless cars. I did test the idea that one could be forced out of from behind the wheel and forced into a driverless car. So I hope they fail miserably. Yeah, you're a Luddite. No, I'm not. I enjoy driving. And I want to be in control.
I want to be in control. That's classic baby boomer attitude to things. But I'm just wondering who thinks who's going to force him out of his car and then force him into a driverless car?
Well, like a robotic lesbian.
We'll be a robotic green-voting lesbian. That's what's coming for Leighton Smith in the future if he doesn't have his way.
That's what he sees coming, doesn't he? That's what he sees off in the future. When he closes his eyes at night, he imagines robotic green voting lesbians
What does he drive? It's well documented what Mike Hosking drives, but what is the man after Mike Hosking?
A Subaru Outback.
Right, a Subaru Outback. He does, that's right, yeah. And then Larry Williams drives a Nifty 50.
Yeah, a scooter.
A scooter. So he's imagining that one day he's going to be get in his car in the morning to get into a Subaru Outback,
yeah.
And then suddenly a robotic lesbian's going to come out and grab him and put him in a driverless car and strap him down, and he's just going to be driven to work. And halfway on the way to work, he's going to go, but I want to take my boat out,
mm-hmm.
and the driverless car is going to go, like Johnny Cabs possibly in the original Total Recall, and
yes.
He's going to go, no, that we're not capable of taking your boat out. That's what he thinks is going to happen.
He really is concerned about that, isn't he? He's genuinely concerned.
Losing control.
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunately for baby boomers, that is the future. You're going to start losing control across a whole lot of things going forward.
Yeah, well, that's also what happens as you get older in general.
Yeah, you start to lose control of bodily functions.
Yeah.
Actually, that's what he should be worried about.
Yeah.
Because that's the control that goes first. But interestingly enough, I think the driverless car situation won't be so much for the weekend. I think that's just going to be more for commuting around town in an Uber-type situation,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to suddenly you're not allowed to take a boat out.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have your utility vehicle for the weekend.
Yeah, well, it will essentially, by all accounts, be a little bit like an Uber that you pay a certain amount of money per month, and it's like a lease of a vehicle that you don't actually have to clean or maintain or fill up with petrol, and it just comes around. You just push on your phone where you are, and the driverless car comes around and it picks you up. It might take 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but it comes around, picks you up, and then drops you off to that place. You don't have to worry about parking, and you don't have to worry about mass transit, so you don't have to get yourself to a bus stop, or you don't have to get yourself to a train station.
Hey, Jerry.
Yes.
Hey, Jerry, as an owner of a bar, how good a driverless car is going to be?
Oh, it's going to be great.
For profits.
It's going to be great. There's no doubt about it, because all of a sudden people don't have to worry about drink driving anymore. It just solves all of these problems. Just, doesn't humanity have a tendency to do this? Just when traffic gets to a point where it's just shocking, all of a sudden pollution gets really bad, all of a sudden we find a solution, we find a way around it.
Yeah, because we've got to stop punishers like me that drive a massive diesel truck into work every day and then just leave it parked here all day and then drive it home. I mean, we're destroying the environment, aren't we?
Well, the worst thing that people like you do is pick kids up from school.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's the worst. The size of car that is used to pick up one child from school and to put a school bag in is insane.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells, the Hauraki Breakfast.
Now, the Matt and Jerry Show agenda is a communal conversation starter. Ring us with your opinion anytime on any of the topics discussed. 0800 Hauraki is the number.
The agenda.
Later, Cook Crossing's cancelled again soon. Palmy North doesn't like the beggars. But now, robber no match for elderly man.
A burglar got more than he bargained for in Ashburton on Monday. After attempting to hold up an elderly couple in their home with a gun, it started with the doorbell ringing at 8 p.m. But within moments of the front door opening, 78-year-old Jim Heath had tackled the intruder down a set of stairs after the would-be robber presented a pistol in his hand. With his wife inside, Mr. Heath took immediate action. I just tackled him and sent him down here, and I landed on top of him, he says. The attacker took off with nothing to show for his efforts.
A couple of points on this. Firstly, Jim Heath is a relation of mine. And secondly, who's pesting around Ashburton with a pistol?
Well, the other thing is that is very rare. People turning up to people's houses and robbing them when they're actually inside the house. That's a low-level operation on that person's behalf.
Yeah, let's just say it's not a real pistol. But good old work by old
Jim Heath.
Jimmy Heath.
78. He wasn't going to take any of that nonsense.
No, absolutely. This is bloody nonsense. The thing is, if you, in New Zealand, like 9 times out of 10, the person with the gun or the weapon is just bluffing. It's just that tenth time that you don't really want to be involved in.
Yeah, you've got to be quite careful, Jim Heath.
You've got to enjoy that. You've got to avoid the tenth time. But it worked out well for old Jimmy Heath. What a great New Zealander, you got to say.
Yeah, well, that guy won't be coming back to Jim Heath's house to have a go at him. But shame on that person, 78. Don't go knocking on 78-year-old sword and try. But what was he trying to get? What did Jim Heath have? A whole stash of tramadols or something in there?
Oh, exactly.
Have you been sending him trams?
Oh, Jimmy Heath?
Yeah.
No, Jimmy Heath sends me his trams.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he's got no trams. I've rinsed Uncle Jimmy Heath for his trams, that's for sure.
Well, what the hell is someone trying to burn Uncle Jim Heath for?
Great Uncle James Heath. He is a rinse for trams. I don't know, what do they expect to get? Like a dooley off the top of the TV?
That's a low-level operation by that person.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, yeah.
Yeah. I see you've got here the top 5 sexiest Heaths, a list of them.
Yeah.
And now, it's another Matt and Jerry top 5.
Yes, Jerry, in light of Jimmy Heath from Ashburton, the 78-year-old, attacking an intruder who entered his house with a pistol, smashing the crap out of him and then jumping on top of him, I thought I'd share with you the top five sexiest Heaths of all time, because this is something that I've been very focused on across my life.
Yeah, isn't it interesting when your name is something, you do always listen out for famous Heaths around the place. I mean, I, with the name Jeremy, slightly unusual name, anybody called Jeremy, any famous Jeremy I can remember, and there's only one.
Who?
Jeremy Coney.
What about Jeremy?
And there's, well, there's that song. There's that song. I tried to distance myself from that, to be fair.
So, should we go through the top five sexiest Heaths of all time?
Yeah.
Number five.
You've written here Heathcliff Huxtable.
Absolutely.
I think that we should all have two lives. One, to live to make the mistakes and then come back and do it again. You know, so you don't make the mistakes.
Of course, Heathcliff Huxtable, played by the great Bill Cosby. What's he been up to lately? Anything?
Just a few issues around sort of drugging people, like historically, going back sort of 30 years.
So is he still a loved and admired comedian?
Not so much anymore, no. No,
really?
There's a shadow hanging over him, you would say, at this point in time.
I'm still using his book Parenthood to bring up my two young boys. So.
That seems to be working. You're doing a good job.
Okay, good.
Number four.
You've written here Hampstead Heath.
Yeah, the massive ancient London park between Highgate and Hampstead, 320 acres of rambling pools and good times and pesty cottaging and dogging situations.
Number three.
Heath Davis.
You remember Heath Davis, the skitty former New Zealand fast bowler. He played 5 tests and 11 one-day internationals for New Zealand, bowled quite a few wides. Was he the guy that one day bowled a pie?
Yeah, he did. He bowled a pie. He came in and after the luncheon interval, he came in and the batsman was waiting for the first delivery and came in and actually bowled a pie at him. I believe there was an incident as well where he chopped one of his toes off.
Yeah, and then he said that'll help him with no balls, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Number two.
Heath Ledger.
Yeah, Heath Ledger, the Australian actor. He started off as a bit of a heartthrob and then got all depressed when he played the Joker in The Dark Knight Returns and then was made love to one of the Olsen twins. And then sort of hung himself or something.
Mm.
He's dead anyway.
The number one sexiest Heath of all time, Matt Heath. Well, that's not surprising. I knew you'd do that.
No, Jerry. No. I'm not talking about this Matt Heath. We're talking Matt Heath, English football player who previously played in the Premier League for Leicester City and the Football League of Scotport County, Coventry City, Leeds United, Colchester United, Brighton and Hove Albion and the South End United. He famously scored from a header via a corner against Burnley in 2007.
Is he not liked by his teammates or something? Look at all those teams that he played for.
He's a bit pesty. He gets kicked out of the team a lot. Like, a lot of Heaths suffer from pestiness. And, you know, like, if you go through these people, I mean, you've got Heathcliff Huxtable, terrible pest.
Yep.
You've got Hampstead Heath.
People use it to pest him.
Massive pesting zone. Mm-hmm. Heath Davis, pesting people by bowling actual pies. Mm-hmm. Heath Ledger, pested himself, and now he's gone.
And pested an Olsen twin too.
That's right. He was pesting both Olsen twins. And Matt Heath got kicked out of all those teams for being too much of a
pest. What is the Heath curse, eh? The Heath curse.
But sometimes that pestiness pays off, like in the case of Jim Heath from Ashburton, who pested a burglar out of his house.
The people's horse is making a name for himself on the track.
Supercharge got clear down the side at the 600, leads by 3. Horsey McHorse Face and Masking are next and moving up on their outside as they come up towards the home corner is Coles Bro. Then followed the Big Dreamer held up behind. Chastity Strikes is next with Gisella. Lilac Wine, Lucky Starlet and Terrigal Head the others. Around the corner, Supercharged in front, still too clear. Horsey McHorse Face is out now, the Big Dreamer back to the fence and then followed the Masking, Lucky Starlet
Horsey
and Chastity
McHorse
Strikes.
Face. Finished beautifully at the Arthur Thompson Memorial Maiden Plate at Cessnock Racecourse in New South Wales, Australia. Horsey McHorseface, originally from New Zealand, is owned by Joe Rossetti and Bjorn Baker, with the name starting as a joke between friends. Baker and Rossetti said, we had a laugh about it in the office and thought, hey, why not? Let's call him Horsey McHorseface.
Of course, recently, a couple of points on this, Jerry, there was the British Naval research boat that put its name out to be named on the internet by popular choice, and they came back with Bodie McBoatface.
That's right.
Which is a good name for the boat. But and my second point on this is there's another one of those horses in the race was called Chastity Strikes.
Chastity Strikes,
and Chastity can strike at any time in your life, can't it? authenticity can really strike when you don't want it.
The thing with horse racing is there is a great opportunity for humour inside of horse racing. It's a bit like what we do when we travel around New Zealand. We go into the Koru Lounge and there's a person who's making coffee.
Yeah.
And you get to order it with a name. And our great game that we play is that we select a different name for each person and then the person has to read out your name. And it is one of the greatest games you can ever play. It is so, so immature but so good. Good morning. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
G'day, team.
Who's this?
Oh, this is James. James the Rural Postie.
James the Rural Postie. Welcome to the show. You're a new caller.
Very much, team. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
What a great New Zealander, James the Rural Postie.
Oh, thanks, mate. You're not too bad yourself.
Where are you delivering your rural post?
Just in Longburn at the moment, just out of Palmy North.
What kind of vehicle are you using to deliver your rural post, James?
Oh, I'll tell you what, mate. I wish it was the old Bongo, but she's a high ace.
Oh, yeah.
Great vehicle, though, the High Ace, James.
Oh, for sure.
So reliable.
What a vehicle. And you can fit some decent-sized parcels on there.
Certainly can, mate. Certainly can.
Hey, James, the Rural Postie, was Jerry's story about Horsey McHorseface incredible or not?
That name, especially, like, Bodie McBoatface and all of the likes, the most incredible thing I've probably ever heard.
Postie McPostface.
Boaty McBoatface, remember him?
Yeah, I was just talking about that, but I made a bit of a wry aside calling you Postie McPostface.
Yeah, and also, James, the Rural Postie, you missed Matt's other wry aside where he said yay or nay.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate, definitely yay.
There we go. Jerry, well done. Right. Horsey McHorseface wins again.
Yeah, what a name. James, what a great New Zealander.
Thanks for sitting through another Matt and Jerry show on Radio Hauraki.
This podcast was brought to you by our bloody great mates at MyRepublic, the internet service provider that knows no limits. And when you sign up to MyRepublic using the promo code PODCAST, you will get 1 month free on top of what's already a bloody great deal.
MyRepublic. Like us at times, they know no limits.